everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. And Bob Dio. Bob, I love the hat. You got the Sugar Skulls hat. I followed you on Facebook. You had a great time, right? It was a good time at the game. The Sugar Skulls. I didn't realize that the field was only 50 yards. Yeah, right. It's a small, kind of small and narrow field, but pretty good crowd, over 5,000 people at the Tucson Convention Center for this indoor football. So that's fun. Everybody seems to have a really good time at these games, and I guess it was pretty darn loud. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's a Monday, March 11th, 2018. Hope you had a great weekend. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. Our podcasts are available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com, 790-2440. If you're listening and would like to join in the conversation, love to hear from you. Every Monday, we kick off the program with our Monday Political Face-Off featuring a different team of commentators each week. This week, it's Bruce Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don, did you have a good weekend?
It was a busy weekend, productive. Had the pleasure of running in the Arizona Distance Classic, the half marathon up in Oro Valley yesterday. Beautiful morning and well-run event. I want to give credit to the folks there. And, of course, went to the U of A basketball game on Saturday, you know, said goodbye to the seniors and, you know, maybe kind of goodbye to the season as well.
Yeah, that was the coach addressing the crowd. I'm sure that Steve Rivera, his eye on the ball, will be talking about that at 1 o'clock, but it sure opened up speculation on Twitter and all the national media. Is Sean Miller done? Bruce Ash, it was good to see you. I ran into you before you're coming over here for your 1 o'clock show on Saturday afternoon. I ran into you at Moe's. And we talk a lot on the program, Bruce, about how Mo and his team will go out and hang. They'll take care of whatever. Well, Mo had just come in from a job, hadn't he? And he had two of his friends with him. And they showed us a picture of it was a huge piece that they put up.
It was like a Chinese screen.
Yeah.
That they had. It was like a five piece thing. It was 72 by 72 and weighed a bunch of weight, and it was up high. So he actually uses men who are stuntmen,
yeah,
and riggers, because these guys really figure out how to move stuff around safely and get it up on the wall.
And one of the stuntmen we had on the show, spent a half hour with him, fascinating guy, Amos Carver. Bob shaking his head in the other room there. He remembers that was an interesting interview. But yeah, we ran into Amos because Mo had Amos help him out on this job.
Amos and Imus,
Amos and his friend Imus.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, well, we could chat about our weekend probably the whole half hour, but there's some things, of course, we want to talk about. Pima County Democratic Party passed a resolution in support of the sanctuary initiative. Don Jorgensen, I guess it takes 75% of the executive committee, and that committee is about 35 members, I guess, on the Democratic Party, to pass something. And
right, 36, yeah, I believe.
36, okay. So what are your thoughts, Don, on this?
Well, first of all, the Democratic Party, as you know, has really been energized in the past couple of years, and that has come certainly in response to 2016, and we saw the success that the progressive wing of the party had in 2018, and the success the progressive wing had in the recent county election in the county party. And so that's emboldened folks that are progressive into really taking action on the local level here. And you have one of the goals that the Democratic Party had in the county was to coordinate better with these different community groups throughout Tucson, throughout Pima County, that all have the same goal in these areas. That brought some of those folks onto the board for the first time. And some of those folks were those that support this Tucson Families Free and Together, which is the initiative, what kind of referred to as a sanctuary initiative that they're trying to get on the ballot. The Democratic Party made the decision after a lot of discussion. Obviously, there was support. They did get the 75% to support it. And there is primarily the focus on really two things. One is overcoming still the discrimination that was highlighted by SB 1070 many years ago, and the discrimination against immigrants, whether considered legal or illegal, whatever terms you want to use, but discrimination against folks that may have Mexican heritage or Central or South American heritage. The other concern was that issue of protecting folks who are seeking asylum in Tucson. And that's nothing new. That started back in the 80s when groups provided asylum for folks coming up from Central America. So it isn't about protecting what a lot of folks like to call illegal immigrants. It's about folks who have come here seeking asylum and making sure that they're not harassed or abused in many ways. The other side of the argument is saying that it goes too far. And that was the concern of those that voted against it, that it makes it difficult for police to coordinate with federal law enforcement. And there's a lot of that takes place.
You believe it goes too far?
I do. What I liked was Steve Kozachik's comments about it. He noted that the Tucson Police Department already has what's called police general orders that deal with these issues very well, very clearly, without tying the hands of the city, and which an initiative would do by putting this into the city charter. I think the idea with regard to the initiative is a very good one, but I think they went too far.
What do you think about it, Bruce?
Well, it sort of highlights the problems that the Democratic Party is having nationally right here locally, because there is a split within the party. It could be sort of likened to what the Tea Party movement was in the aftermath of Barack Obama's election. That developed over a period of time, and you know, the splits that it created within the Republican Party, those splits have come together over a period of time. But I think it does highlight on a local basis what is going on nationally, because on a national level there is a pretty significant split within the Democratic Party leadership. As to this particular initiative, not just Steve Kozachik's against it, but a number of individuals who are in local government, Democrats in local government, are opposed to it or aren't coming out in favor of the Sanctuary City initiative. And to me, it's sort of a solution looking for a problem. Don said it in his own way. We have been a city that has welcomed and accommodated asylum seekers for a number of years. And I don't think there's anybody who is questioning sanctuary for people who are in need of asylum, Bill and Don, because they do have legal rights under the law and under the Constitution as it's interpreted today. And when they come to this country, I mean, literally all they need to do, and we're seeing many tens of thousands of people doing this, they say, I'm here seeking asylum for whatever reason, and then they're processed and taken through the system. And as Don also mentioned, whether it's the sheriff's office or Tucson police, they already have their procedures in place that are 1070 compliant and do have sort of a local slant to how to handle these things. So, you know, I think the Sanctuary City initiative can be divisive, not just in the general community, which it will be, but also divisive within the Democratic Party as we look at it.
And there are 10,000 at least signatures needed, valid signatures, to get this
They'll
on
get
the ballot. They'll probably get this.
Well, I'm
right?
sure they will.
Yeah, it's actually a little less than 10,000, but you always go over to.
It's 9,400 or 9,600.
97, something.
But
like
you
that.
Need to have, you know, probably 12,000 or 13,000. Of course, this is a liberal thing that's coming out, so maybe the recorder's office isn't going to be quite as tough as what they would be ordinarily. I'm just kidding.
I'm on FN Rodriguez's side on that one. See, they are terrific.
They really are.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, this actually goes through the city clerk's office, though.
Oh, does it?
And not through the recorder's office.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It is our Monday political face-off. Don Jorgensen seated to my left, and Bruce Ash to my right.
As I should be.
There you go. My favorite bakery in town. Such exciting news coming. Hopefully in about a week, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, will be serving a hot breakfast. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Everybody's very excited about this. Owner and chief baker, Steve, they've got the equipment in there. They're getting all the proper permitting, and they'll be ready to go here very soon. They are open right now for lunch, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I know that Don Jorgensen's looking forward to visiting Mona's for breakfast.
What's better than another reason to go to Mona's?
There you go. And
I don't know how they're going to cook back there. It is just so tight as it is. Poor Steve or whoever the short order cook is, that's got to be like one of the toughest jobs in Pima County, I think.
Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website also. We'll link at BuckmasterShow.com. It's just a little bit, a few seconds after 12:16. We'll be back with the Monday political face-off right after this. Face Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1220 for our Monday political face-off on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Don Jorgensen is with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Bruce Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com presents our Monday political face-off. There was an interesting article, and I wanted to get each of your take, Don and Bruce, about this David Brooks column in the New York Times, the case for reparations. And basically, Mr. Brooks says reparations are a drastic policy and hard to execute, but the very act of talking about and designing them heals a wound and opens a new story. What do you think about that, Bruce?
Well, you know, how do you give reparations to somebody who, because I mean, this sort of stems from slavery, which was, you know, still is one of the worst things in human life. But I mean, how do you base a 21st century reparations program for people who weren't ever slaves? And, you know, they might be three generations removed from being slaves. I mean, at some point in time, you have to move on. And I don't mean to sound insensitive. There's still sensitivity, and there's still apologies that probably are overdue for the damage done. But I just don't know that reparations are really the answer. I mean, I think the answer within our public policy for the past 40 years has been more open hiring and educational opportunities and ability to buy homes and to really sort of demonize what was the norm in some parts of our country, you know, segregation and so on. That was so awful, you know, to do this. But then let's just say that you decide, well, okay, we're going to do this for African Americans. Okay, does that mean that Latinos don't deserve it, or Asians who legitimately have sort of a reason to maybe expect for reparations? These were people taken away from their homes and their businesses and locked in internment camps for the period, you know, for the duration of the war, and there actually are plenty of children
going back even to building the railroads in this country in the West.
Okay, no, you're right.
I know. I hear what you're saying, and what's your take, Don? I mean,
well, really kind of discussing two questions under this. One is, should we make reparations, and if so, how?
Yeah, how
the
would
first
you
question,
do it?
I mean, should we? Just talking from the Democratic view, and that's become an issue in the primaries, interestingly.
Yes, it has.
And it has to do with the rise of the African-American voters in that population. And also, as Bruce said, this is a longstanding issue and question. You know, it is about slavery. That was America's original sin. Mm-hmm. There continues through this day a great amount of racial injustice, mm-hmm, and a wealth disparity, economic disparity, because of all that, as you all pointed out, and Bill, mm-hmm, you shared this in an earlier discussion, there were lynchings into the 1930s.
Yeah, there
let
were.
Let alone the ongoing Jim Crow laws, the redlining.
I don't mean to pick a fight with you. I think there were lynchings that went on into the 1950s and 1960s.
Yeah, yeah.
I would believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it continues to be an issue. The idea of that we owe this, yes, I think Democrats agree with that, and I think the general public does. It does become a question of how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, there's a lot of history on that side. You mentioned the Japanese internment camps.
Right.
The U.S. did provide reparations to Japanese after those internment camps. Mm-hmm. So there's history showing that America can do that. We also have history from Germany, which provide reparations to Israel and then to Jews in Germany, also in South Africa after apartheid. So that there's processes there. The question about how to do it is also a critical question. And there are a lot of researchers that have looked at other ways to do it today. First of all, identifying, yes, who is entitled to it. And if there's a way to track back to at least one ancestor, it may be going back three, four generations, that was a slave. That's one way to do it. And that's there are more and more methods by which to do that. And then perhaps providing reparations in the form of tax credits, educational subsidies, some particular ways, rather than writing a check, but finding ways to really make it meaningful to correct some of these economic injustices that Bruce described, and there's many more.
And look, I don't want to trivialize the injustice that's been cast upon lots of people, but if you took that approach, what would stop people who are Jewish? I'm Jewish. Hell, there was plenty of discrimination against Jews for years. We couldn't move into certain neighborhoods when my parents first bought a home. There were plenty of Jews that were never, that would not be accepted into the professions. There are still people today who don't do business with Jewish businesses and Jewish people. And people called me a kike when I was a kid and a Jesus killer, Christ killer. I mean, do I deserve reparations? We're having an honest discussion.
We are.
And I'm not trying to trivialize
it's
anything.
It's good, though. I think it's good to talk about it.
Everybody's got their asses kicked at some point in time, some worse than others. And I still remember the kids who called me a dirty kike when
how
I was a kid.
How about our ancestors, the Irish?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead, Don.
Yeah. That's why I think it's important we separate the two, because you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But we're talking about slavery.
Yes.
Which is different than discrimination.
Yes.
And that's so much serious on a different level.
But what about the last, it's really closer to 50 years that there have been all of these programs that have affected more than just African Americans. There's been a number of different groups that have benefited. But what about all of the help that's been given in the trillions of dollars over the past 60 years, 50 years, to help build up a population and help make things easier? Is that for nothing? I mean, is this on top of that? And these are the kinds of conversations that, they have to, you have to say these words as sort of tough as they are. I'm having a hard time getting them out of my mouth. When you brought the topic over the weekend, Bill, for a potential conversation, these are the things that were running through my brain, and I didn't know how to say it without sounding like this incredibly bad person.
I mean, the Academy Award winning movie in 1946, if folks haven't seen it, it's certainly worth taking a look. Gregory Peck in Gentleman's Agreement. And that was what you were mentioning, Bruce, about the discrimination. Jewish people could not belong to certain country clubs.
If your last name is Greenberg, suddenly there wasn't a reservation for you in a hotel. I do not believe that not for a Jewish guy not to be able to get a hotel room because his last name is Goldstein or Greenberg. It does not in any way at all match up with the injustices and the cruelty and the awful, awful things that were done to millions of people in this country.
And that's the point. It doesn't match up. It's a different animal. The reparations due because of slavery is a different animal than the discrimination that happened to group after group after group. And you can argue, and I wouldn't disagree, that it affected Jewish people the worst. Our ancestors came over from Ireland during the famines a couple different times. They were discriminated against. The Vietnamese came over in the 70s to California. They were discriminated against. But then things tend to level out over time.
Yeah.
Slavery, though, the impact of that and all that happened has not.
Well, I'm glad we were talking about it. Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, thank you very much. We're talking about it, and I hope we will be talking about it in the future. I think it's
a hard thing to talk about.
It is hard to talk about, but it's certainly worth our time to discuss it.
Very much.
Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, thank you, gentlemen. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Please check them out. The family-owned group since 1985. They do such a wonderful job with all of their custom-framed items. You cannot go wrong at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this Monday afternoon. It's time for our monthly segment, featuring the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We welcome Marion Cruz, the new Director of Communications and Consumer Affairs at the BBB. Miriam, good to see you. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you came from the Phoenix BBB.
I did, yeah. 8 years at the Phoenix Better Business Bureau, and now just super excited to be in Tucson and just to share all the resources that we have. So
yeah, it's happy a great, it's
here.
A great BBB affiliate. Mary Kaiser, you brought a guest with you, Miriam. Mary Kaiser with Assured Partners of Arizona. Mary, how are you?
I am great today, Bill. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you for coming in. And I know Miriam wanted to bring you in because you are a loyal member of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. So why don't we begin with why is the BBB right for you and your particular business? Why don't you start with telling us a little bit about Assured Partners?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Assured Partners of Arizona is actually a relatively new moniker. We are comprised of several formerly independent insurance agencies whose roots in Tucson go back 30 plus years. And we became part of the Assured Partners family about 5 years ago. So we've been affiliated with the BBB for many years, but the BBB affiliation became even more important for us when we became part of Assured Partners, because Assured Partners is a very large national brand, but not well known here in Tucson. So being able to refer folks to the BBB for a little bit about who we are and our history and who we are now has been really beneficial.
And having that BBB seal helps, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, BBB is associated with trust.
Yes.
And people feel it's a great starting place to find out more information about a company, right, Miriam? I mean, that's once they see that is probably one of the most well-known logos in the world. Well, the United States. I don't know. Maybe the world, too.
Actually, we are international.
There you go. Okay, the world, too.
Yeah, Canada and Mexico as well. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we've been around for more than 100 years, and that logo signifies trust. So you know that when a company is using that logo, you can trust them because they're committed to operating ethically and following our standards of trust, which is really, really important.
Mary, tell me a little bit about you. So Assured is a large national insurance brokerage.
Correct.
So tell me about how your services work locally.
Sure. Well, I think one of the ways that we like to describe ourselves is that we offer local customized insurance solutions to clients right here in this community. But we are backed by national power and strength. So the advantage is dual in that we live, work, and play right here in the community, and so do our customers. By the same token, we have a very large parent company, if you will, that provides resources, products, services that make our time to solution for clients a lot faster. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
So if someone, you would shop around then for the client? Is that
yes.
Is that how that would, so if I needed, are we talking about auto or what, is this a full,
yes,
full portfolio?
Full portfolio of insurance products and services, everything from individual personal lines like auto, homeowners, your play, toys, boats, etc., to individual life and health. And then we also offer a full suite of services to employers that include commercial liability coverage, employee benefit, bonds, and whatever you can come up with. If somebody wants pet insurance, we can find you a solution for pet insurance.
Kind of a one-stop shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's, Miriam, tell me a little bit about how you and your colleagues at the BBB, starting with Pam Krim, your terrific CEO, how do you work with your clients? What is your relationship with, like, with Mary Kaiser and Assured Partners? How do you work together as a team?
Right. So we have more than 3,200 accredited businesses across Southern Arizona. And, you know, Assured Partners is one of our accredited businesses. So we really try to support our accredited businesses by not only promoting that seal, because once you promote the BBB brand and that seal, you give exposure to our partners as well. And Mary happens to be on our board of directors as well. So we're really thankful that she takes that time to really guide us and just be an advocate for our brand in the community. Because as you can see, she's very involved not only with her business, but also in the community. And when we look at our board members, we really want those advocates that will really share our message, but also be a great example of a brand.
We're speaking with Miriam Cruz. Miriam is the new Director of Marketing and Outreach for the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. And Mary Kaiser is with us, Assured Partners of Arizona. She's a board member of the BBB on 1030 The Voice. Speaking of trust, we're trusted local news and talk. I like to call myself, my part of my logo is Tucson's most trusted voice. So trust is at our table today. Mary, as a board member, what are some of your some of the responsibilities as you see them of how you can contribute to making the BBB chapter here a stronger organization?
I think besides the governance and the oversight that comes with being a board member, probably the greatest need we can fill is to advocate, as Miriam says. Get the word out, get the brand out, explain to folks what the BBB is all about, provide examples of what they do for their clients that they serve. And as a board member, also, again, look to promote the values of trust and integrity in the community that we serve and that the BBB serves.
Miriam, tell me a little bit about your background. This is a new position for you in Tucson, but as you mentioned, you had this experience with BBB up in Phoenix. I'd like to know, and our listeners probably like to know, what's a little bit about your background? Where are you from? Where'd you go to school? How'd you get associated with the BBB? Take a moment there to share with that.
Yeah, of course. No, I had the pleasure of serving as the Director of Community Relations for the Better Business Bureau in Phoenix, and they kind of oversee or cover the areas north of Phoenix. So now I'm covering the areas of Southern Arizona, but you know, the mission is pretty much the same. And through my role, I really work to just build awareness of all the resources that we have. Because Better Business Bureau does so much, right? A lot of people think of us as complaint handlers, and we definitely do that. We definitely want to help with any issues that consumers experience in the marketplace. But we also want to be there before, right? We want to help with complaints, but what happens if you actually go to our website before or you call us before to check out a company or when you're not unsure of a transaction online? That would kind of save a lot of people out of, you know, headache if they were to do that at first. So that's kind of my role, just building awareness, building partnerships, supporting our accredited businesses in the community. And I am a lumberjack. So
from Northern Arizona. Okay.
Yes.
Northern Arizona University. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Phoenix, but I'm originally from Mexico, the border of Douglas in Agua Prieta. We were just sharing this while we were waiting. So
yeah. So you heard about BBB probably all your life, pretty much. I think you can't live in the United States and not know about BBB.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, it was one of those brands that, you know, were a really trusted, highly respected brand. Mm-hmm. And I think because they've always been there for the people. And that's what we're trying to do and continue to do here in Tucson.
Mary, before we let you and Miriam go, tell me a little bit about how many employees do you have? Give me kind of the overview. What's the footprint of your business here in Tucson?
Well, in Tucson, we have, and actually I should say our Arizona operations has about 37 employees.
Okay.
Nationally, Assured Partners has over 5,000 employees, and we're growing daily.
Where are they based? Where is Assured Partners based?
Lake Mary, Florida, actually.
Huh. And how did they get started? Do you know that story?
I do. It's a great story.
Give me the bottom line.
Okay. Well, Assured Partners was formed in 2011 by some insurance executives or formerly with another large agency. And over a very short period of time, we have grown exponentially to the point that we are now the 12th largest independent insurance agency in the United States.
Wow. Had no idea.
I know.
That's why I do this show, to learn something new every day. And there I've just learned something new. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Assured Partners, Arizona. Mary Kaiser, thank you, Mary, for coming
in. Thank you so much.
It's nice to meet you. Mary, a board member with the Better Business Bureau. And Miriam Cruz, thank you. We'll look forward to your visits, to our monthly visits to the show. And, of course, one of the wonderful things BBB does is to keep people aware of scams and the scam tracker. And we'll have probably something about that maybe next month here on BBB. Miriam, great to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Buckmaster, now on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, coming up almost exactly at 12:45. Coming up next, we have a new director of gaming in the state of Arizona. We'll speak with Ted Vogt. He's on our live line, ready to go right after we take the break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. My goodness, so much going on over on that 13-acre site. Not only all the great plants that Green Things is known for, they're now home also to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com. Let's go now to the state capitol. Ted Vogt is with us. Ted is the new director of the Arizona Department of Gaming. Ted, how are you?
Bill, doing great. It's great to be back on the show with you. And actually, I'm joining you from Flagstaff. I was up this morning visiting with the Navajo Nation talking about some of their gaming operations.
Oh my goodness! So you are gonna you're gonna be getting around. You know, Ted, you've worn more hats than I don't know what. Former state lawmaker, you were with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now this new challenge as the director of gaming. Give me and our listeners kind of the big footprint here. What are you charged with at the Arizona Department of Gaming?
Sure. The Department of Gaming was actually established back in 1995 after the Indian Gaming Act was passed and the state and the tribes entered into some compact. The Department of Gaming was established to really do sort of the regulation of all gaming. So the vast majority of the employees, we've got about 100 employees, and we're a smaller agency. We've got an appropriation of about $17 million a year. The vast majority of the employees, I'd say about 88%, are focused on that gaming regulation. So we do employee and vendor certification. We have a compliance arm and an enforcement arm, as well as a Department of Problem Gambling. All of that operation is funded by the tribes through the revenues they generate. We also have a Department of Racing, and that oversees horse racing and paramutual wagering here in the state of Arizona. And then we have a Boxing Commission and Mixed Martial Arts Commission, and they oversee a lot of the fighting events. Matter of fact, we just had UFC in Phoenix this last month. So it's a very diversified department, a small department, but a very efficient department.
Now, is the money from gaming helping our economy? And let's begin with, is Arizona gaming revenue increasing? And give us some idea of the scope of the money we're talking about.
Yes. On average, the Indian gaming contributes directly to the state and the municipalities between about $90 to $110 million a year. Mm. It fluctuates depending on, the health or their revenues in general. So last year, the tribes contributed about $106 million directly to the state and the communities. Of that $106 million, about 88% of that goes into what's called the Arizona Benefits Funds. And that goes and helps fund education, tourism, infrastructure, and like fish and game. And then 12% of that money goes directly to the towns and counties to sort of help mitigate, I guess you'd call it, the costs of gaming. So like traffic and infrastructure projects like that.
So how does Ted? I was going to ask Ted Vogt. I'm going to ask you. Is it then a percentage of the kind of the revenues goes to the state? Is that how that works?
Yes, we have a graduated system. So like on the first $25 million a tribe makes, they'll pay 1%, and then it kind of goes up from there, 3%, and then over $100 million. It's taxed at sort of an 8% formula. So the tribes, depending on the revenues, pay a different amount. But overall, last year, the net gaming revenues was about $1.9 billion.
Wow.
And the overall, if you kind of look at the overall impact gaming has in the economy of Arizona, it's probably around about $4.5 billion when you can take into consideration the vendors and the non-gaming operations. So it is a pretty significant impact to our economy.
How many gaming operations do we have, Indian tribal casinos, in the state of Arizona?
So we have 24 facilities in the state. There are some tribes that don't operate any facilities, but they have a machine allotment that other tribes are allowed to utilize. There's sort of a lease that they put into place. So all tribes are getting something, but you've got some rural tribes, and then down in Tucson and around the Phoenix Valley, you've got some other what you kind of consider urban tribes that have the larger facilities and hotels that most folks are probably familiar with.
So we're talking big money here, Ted Vogt.
It is. It's significant. And we're actually entering into a time where we're starting to renegotiate the compacts of the future. We're coming to the end of this 20-year cycle, and we're starting to meet with the tribes. And that's why I was up talking with Navajo, seeing what they would like to see. You know, there's kind of an ongoing discussion. Some tribes would like to see more Vegas-style games, table games, like baccarat and craps. And other tribes are kind of happy with the machines, but that's all the things that we're going to be taking into consideration as we talk about this next compact.
Well, I had no idea the scope had gotten that big. How about this mixed, you said, what is it, mixed
martial arts.
Is that a growing area?
Absolutely. Arizona has always had sort of a very proud boxing history.
Right.
And then mixed martial arts, it's growing everywhere. And in Arizona, it has been spectacular. As a matter of fact, the event that we had last month down at Talking Stick Arena in Phoenix, it was practically a sellout crowd. And it was, you know, the revenue growth over that was 25% versus a year ago. So
wow.
Everyone's very interested in these combative sports. And a matter of fact, in July, Arizona will be host to sort of the national conference for all these combative sport regulating departments in every state. So that's going to be happening out in Scottsdale in July. So there's a lot of sporting activity here in Arizona.
Ted Vogt is with us on the live line. He's with us from Flagstaff. Ted is the new director of the Arizona Department of Gaming. We haven't talked about horse racing. Our horse racing season, of course, underway right now down at Rialto, and the folks over there that feel so passionately, Ted, as you know, about that track. So how is horse racing doing then in the state? Give us that overview very quickly.
Actually, this year will be the first year that horse racing has expanded in the state. In the summer, Arizona Downs, formerly Yavapai Downs, is going to come online. And once they do, with their racing schedule, Arizona will now have sort of a year-round racing season here in the state. So it's actually one of the growing areas when it comes to the sort of the sports economy. And of course, Rialto, with its proud history down there, they only race a couple of weeks a year, but it certainly gets a big turnout down there in Tucson.
We don't have dog racing anymore, do we, in the state?
No, we do not. That was done away with a few years ago. There are two tracks that still receive a feed from other tracks, but there is no live dog racing in the state of Arizona.
So with the horse racing and boxing, is that kind of a different formula? I would assume it is than the casino, about percentage-wise what the state gets. I guess that's a different formula.
Yes, the horse racing is, we get a very small percentage off the racing handle. So all bets placed in the state of Arizona for horse racing, a very, very small percentage of that is taken to operate the horse racing. And a little bit of that is used to help run the boxing and MMA commission. And that staff is very lean. We've only got an executive director and one employee, and then we've got volunteers who serve on the commission itself.
All right. Well, Ted, we're out of time, but there's so much more. So we'll have to invite you down here for our Friday Focus interview, one of these in the coming weeks, to sort of sit for a half an hour and talk about this, because I've learned some things just talking about you. I didn't really even realize the scope of gaming. So there's more to talk about. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, for having me. I'd be happy to do it.
All right. Ted Vogt with us, the new director of the Department of Gaming. Had no idea, Bob Dio, about the big money that's involved here in gaming now in Arizona. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of producer Bob Dio. Steve Rivera's got so much to talk about coming up on his sports show, Eye on the Ball. On behalf of everybody here, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.